everybody. Welcome to the Paranormal Guys Weekly Podcast, Podcast 012, Podcast 12. And this week we're talking all about disembodied voices and EVPs. That's electronic voice phenomenon for everybody out there that has no idea what we're talking about. Now, as always, I have the Paranormal Guide crew here joining us to talk about the subjects at hand. Tash is snorting. You just snorted.
No, I didn't.
All right, so I've got Paul Tiffich next to me, the tech guy.
Hi, everyone. How you going?
Me and Paul are sharing a mic right now, and it's getting a bit uncomfortable reaching in to each other to speak.
What colour are Paul's eyes, Ash?
I'm not looking. I'm closing my eyes every time I come in to talk. We have the resident medium, Tash McDonald.
Hi, how are you going?
And roving reporter, Debbie Williams.
Hey, everybody.
So that's the team. Now we're talking about, well, yeah, disembodied voice, electronic voice phenomenon. So first of all, we're going to start off with disembodied voices. Why did I chuck that in? Why are we talking about that along with EVP? For two reasons. One, stretching out talking about EVP for an hour might be, well, I don't know, it might be a very boring show. And two, I like to differentiate the two. Differentiating the two for me is very important. I'm going to ask the team first. What's the difference between a disembodied voice and an EVP?
Isn't a disembodied voice something that you don't, that you hear with your own ear and something that you don't have to clean up? Like an EVP is heard on different wavelengths and generally you need technical support to help clean it up. I'm not sure.
Very close, Tash. Yeah, the EVP is captured on a recording device of some sort because it's electronic, of course.
Continue. Yeah. And what's a disembodied voice?
And a disembodied voice you hear with your own ears, of course.
There you go. So basically, a disembodied voice is something you can still pick that up on electronic medium as well. You can, you know, but it's audible to your own natural sense of hearing, whereas an EVP is only heard on the electronic or digital recording medium, essentially. Well, that's how I differentiate the two. Other people out there might take it a little bit differently. Now, first of all, disembodied voices. Has anyone here had an experience with something like that?
You want me to talk about it, don't you?
Well, I'm not sure. Have you heard one? Go for it.
Well, when we did an invest recently, I've thought about it over and over and over again. Did I actually hear what I was hearing or I don't know. It was confusing to me, but I guess it would have been some kind of disembodied voice experience, maybe, yeah.
Now I know what you're talking about. Let's talk about this for a sec, because this is something that's happened really quite recently. All four of us were present.
Yes.
Why not? Let's chuck it in. Okay. So, Paul, it was essentially your case.
Yes.
Hit us with some digits.
Okay, well, we're at a house, a local house that someone reported as haunted. And we were sitting on a staircase investigating and, well, I'm not sure if I've captured it on tape because I haven't had a chance to go back on the file, which but sure, will very soon. But Debbie heard a disembodied voice speaking to her in a different language that was related to the house, which I translated. But we do have some debunking to do in case...
Yeah. Huge reservations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But... because you did get that pareidolia in the heat of the moment and something might have happened. But there was some other things happening which sort of gave us a little bit of validation. But, yeah, there's still a lot more work to do on it.
Would that be... how I can't even explain to you clearly how I heard it. It was kind of like a whisper coming past me. So it's not like I could hear a tone of a voice or, you know, I just, like, heard and thought, oh, something that sounds like this. Rather than saying, oh, yes, it's a male voice or it's a female voice.
Almost every disembodied voice I've heard has always been like a little scream or a yelp. there's not normally words. Not many people hear words. Some people have. But most of them are just screams and yells. So,
speaking of this particular experience, I was the next closest person to Debbie. Debbie was at the top of the stairs. I was about halfway down. Then I think there was Tash next down, then Paul, you were on the landing,
that's
essentially.
Right.
Now, I could hear a whispering sound, but I couldn't make out the noises. I wasn't as close as Debbie was, so I do tend to believe that it was being heard by her ears rather than some extra sensory perception, so to speak. So, yeah, so a true disembodied voice. There was no one else there. Now, can we talk about this case at all?
Just so people
have got an idea. And basically, we rocked up. Paul has a friend. We'll just leave it at that. Another friend was house-sitting, and she was having some experiences there.
That's right. She was hearing footsteps and felt like she was being watched and a few other little things. But yeah.
So we went there to investigate the footsteps, essentially, see if they would happen. And we got there, we did some things, Tash did what Tash does and got a few, did a bit of a picture reading even there, grabbed something off the wall and made was it a connection?
I believe so. I mean, I wasn't 100% correct, but a lot of things were confirmed that I did pick up from the photo, not knowing anything about the person or the people lived there. I think that I did okay.
Yeah, it was very good.
We had some strange things going on with the REM pod. But that's essentially been debunked. It was strange.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Just for your interest, and this has got nothing to do with EVPs right now, just for the interest of those listening, every time someone went upstairs, and was it the toilet or the light?
It was the light.
It was the light upstairs would turn on or off the light upstairs, the REM pod downstairs, nowhere near the location would start going off, and we started thinking that was a bit weird until we found what the pattern was in the end. So someone needs to look at the REM pod a bit better. But anyway, later on we were on the stairs, and yeah, we were conducting an EVP session. We did a bit of a ghost box. Nothing really was happening, and then we started to hear a whisper, and yeah, Debbie was closest to the event, so to speak, and she was able to, I guess, make out the words. What was going on?
I got this sentence or word. I don't know what that means. I can't speak this other language. I've never done that before. Certainly how I was saying it wasn't accurate in the language.
It was pretty accurate. Well,
I don't know. See, I feel worried about it because I don't want people to think, oh, you just made it up. Well, how can I?
Yeah, that's right.
Ash, and it made me feel better because Ash was hearing it as well.
I'm fluent in my dialect of Croatian, which is Komiški, which is from a little island called Komija. Mm. But when people talk to me from inland, which is where the house, where the people were from, speak to me, I don't understand very many of the words. But all the words, what you told me, I did understand. And they popped into my head instantly.
Mm.
But again, we've been discussing pareidolia and there is a possibility.
Yeah, there is.
But I do have to go back through the recording and just make sure I didn't jump through conclusions.
Tash, at the time this was happening, were you picking up anything at all?
No, I couldn't hear anything, but I felt really uncomfortable there. And like I said to Paul, the house just didn't have this nice homely feel to it. I mean, it was a beautiful house, absolutely beautiful house, but it just didn't have that nice homely warm feeling, and I did feel uncomfortable and weird, so to speak. But I didn't hear the disembodied voices, only what I was getting from my reading, my photo reading, and also previously in the night when we were hearing bumps and stuff that were quite loud when we were split up.
Can I ask you a question, Tash, probably, because it's your area. What would be the skills of someone who is clairaudient, say? And if they're clairaudient, are they hearing disembodied voices? Is that what that means?
I am clairaudient, and I hear in my mind. I don't hear like you and I are talking. It's not the same. Is it the word decibel? Yeah, it's not like, you know, as loud as you and I. So it's sort of in your head that I get my messages.
It's rather on a wavelength rather than an audio wave.
Yeah.
I know you were hearing it with your ears because I was hearing it. So I don't think there was a psychic thing here. I think it was a physical hearing.
Yeah, I actually was hearing it. Yeah.
Yep. And what was happening is, so Debbie was hearing these words, and she was basically just saying, repeating what she heard without understanding what the meaning was. And Paul, you were able to translate.
Instantly.
So Paul was able to go, okay, this. And it was almost like the sentences were kind of, they didn't really make a lot of sense what was coming out, to be honest, at the time.
Yeah.
The first two, no. But the second two, yes. They made a, yeah. They were related, but whether I made them related is a different thing.
Yeah, and recently I interviewed Karma Paranormal Investigators, and I said, I didn't really tell much about the case, I just said, I gave them a brief background, said, these are the words, what do you think was being meant? And they kind of helped make a bit of sense, I believe. I reckon they're you know, I'm always skeptical about these types of things, but I reckon it almost seems like there was a message there for the person that owns the house, not the person that was house sitting, so to speak. So that was kind of interesting. So just the words that were coming out of it, it was essentially three or four short sentences. And what they were was, the first one was, I'm resting. Now, remember, Debbie wasn't hearing these in English. She was hearing these in Croatian, but she didn't realize it was Croatian at the time either, till Paul
translator.
Realised that, oh shit, this is Croatian. And it was a Croatian household.
Yes.
That we were at. So, I'm resting. The second one was, you have to live. The third message was, either graves can't hear or graves don't need to hear. And the fourth one, and this was a strange one, was light up or I'll light up a little. Now, what happened just before that fourth one was said, guys?
We saw, Ash had his eyes shut, but Paul, Tash and myself, we were sitting in the stairwell and we saw what we can say is a soft glow or a soft flash to my eye in front of us. And it was seconds.
Yeah, in a cat's eye sort of shape.
Yeah.
And very confined. It didn't really spread out all that much. And there was a flashlight there, but there was no cameras or anything like that. So it was really short. It was really weird.
And we all saw it exactly the same time, didn't we? And we didn't realise. We just like assumed, oh, yeah, Ash has bumped the torch or something like that. And then it kind of dawned on us, oh, my God, no, he didn't.
Well, it couldn't have been a torchlight. It didn't look like a torchlight, but...
I missed it. My eyes. I closed my eyes to try to tune into what Deb was, because I could hear these whisperings. I closed my eyes just to try and shut off that sense, just so made my ears would prick up a bit more. And of course, I missed the event of a decade. So there was this flash, and then I'll light up. So yeah, so these disembodied voices were giving a message. They were saying words. A light happened. The following message after that was, I'll light up a little. Debbie had no idea what was being said until she said it and you translated.
Yep.
Now,
the other thing again was the dialect thing. Again, I do understand what the words were, but I don't really know the dialects of the region. And when I did confirm it with my father, he said that's exactly where this person's from, and that's the dialect they would speak in, which sort of again freaked me out a little bit, which was pretty cool.
Bloody freaked me out too.
I don't think we can't really get into too much more of the case because it's a bit personal. Yeah. But let's just say that those messages do have a meaning when you think back on it, and in hindsight there is a meaning. And essentially that meaning was, for the person that it was directed at, was you don't have to go to where I'm resting. I'm here all the time, essentially.
That's right.
Is what it seems like.
And you know, that's exactly where they were again, which...
Yeah.
Probably Karma Paranormal didn't know anything about.
No. So there you go. Now, so that was an interesting event involving disembodied voices. Have we had any other events? Have you guys?
Can I add to that one as well? We did have an ovulus there, and we did have a ghost box there. The ghost box didn't say anything at all when we were scanning through the stations, and we did it for about 10-15 minutes, and the ovulus said nothing at all. We did change the batteries again, and it still said nothing at all, unless we touched it, which we thinking it was picking up our energies. Now, the disembodied voices were in Croatian. Is it possible that the ghost or the spirit in that place had no idea what English was, so it couldn't use the device? Is that a validation for the device? I'm jumping to conclusions there.
That's a bit far-fetched.
Yeah, but
even for my mind it is, it could be, because if you come, just like us going to Japan and trying to communicate with a Japanese spirit, not knowing the language at all, and they can't speak English, how the hell are they going to communicate with us?
And I mean, this thing, the ovulus, everyone out there who has one will know these things speak constantly, just about, you know, pretty full on.
Yeah.
So you're saying the vocabulary of this gadget is English?
That's it.
So if the spirit is trying to communicate, it won't know what English words to pick.
No, English American, that's it.
Yeah. Stick some Croatian words in it. I can program it in,
but yeah, we never thought about doing it. And I think we might give this an attempt and see what we can get at that house one day again.
Yeah.
Never know. It's always worth, that's all we can do is experiment. So this is, what we do. So what about, before we get on the EVPs, because that's going to be the main chunk of the show, what about, have we had any other experiences with disembodied voices? Anyone else here had experience?
Sort of. We had a couple of screams and yelps at Serviston.
Yep.
We also thought we heard a train breaking, didn't we? That was on the track. We thought we heard a train approaching and nothing happened. So maybe not a disembodied voice, but a disembodied sound. And once at Gladstone. Now, this is a different case again. We were using the Tesla coil.
Ah, yes.
And it's an audio Tesla coil. You'll see some of our videos have it in there. And we asked EVP questions through it. using an MP3 player, which were all pre-recorded. And while we were playing the messages through, we heard a little girl singing in the background. Now, I don't know if it was coming through the Tesla coil or if it was coming somewhere through the jail.
It sounded... When you're hearing the words on the Tesla coil, you can still hear the sparking to it, and it goes in time with it. This was separate, I believe. I believe this was something in the jail itself.
Or possibly in one of the items in the jail, because there was a tricycle right next to the situation. A little old tricycle next to where we were doing it. We didn't realise at the time, but again...
That makes it infinitely more creepier.
So if they were in prison like in Adelaide jail, would they have been forced to take their kids in there with them as well?
Adelaide jail, there were some kids there at some stage. Tash.
They had a birthing unit at Gladstone jail, so I'd assume there would be...
Oh, yeah.
A child every now and then in the women's ward. So
not in the area we were in, the maximum security. So you probably wouldn't get too many children in there. But on the other side, yes. But where a disembodied voice comes from, we don't know. So.
Well, it was a low sounding voice. Yeah. So if it was a voice coming from down the women's area, which was directly across from where we were, and all that's there between the lot is, well, all the doors are open while there, but they're only bars anyway. So sound's going to go straight through. Disembodied voices. Now, I want to jump straight into EVPs. Before we talk about it, we're going to take a break. We're going to play some sponsors' messages. Then we're going to have feet on the street, and then we can start talking about EVPs, guys. So when we come back, we'll head into feet on the streets.
Introducing Go Shack, Australia's first exclusive paranormal equipment web store, providing Aussies with many of the sought-after materials to delve into paranormal exploration. Go Shack currently offers items such as IR lights and full-spectrum digital cameras, mel meters, pods, full-spectrum illuminators, and much more. If we don't have what you're looking for, we will endeavour to provide it for you. Go Shack prides itself on providing Aussies with high-quality products at prices unmatched across the globe. Check us out at goshack.com.au or find us on Facebook.
If you're looking for an entertaining and spooky night out, come to the Casula Powerhouse Art Centre. It's in the southwest of Sydney. We hold ghost tours and paranormal investigation nights. You'll find spooky stories, there's treasure hunts, loads of food and wine, and plenty of time for you to explore the venue on your own. The tours are run by Appy, and you can find us on Facebook or our website, which is appi.org.au.
How's it going? Feet on the streets this time. Now, I do get to have a bit of a listen quickly through them before, just to chop them up and get them ready so we can all listen to them together to talk about. There seemed to be a certain demographic in this one. Where were you and what was going on?
I thought I'd mix it up a bit. I've been down to some of the wealthier sort of areas, Semaphore and around the sort of, Rundle Street-y sort of areas. And I thought, you know what, let's go local. Let's swing it over the other side of town. So I went to Paddy's Market and I went to the Junction Markets. And I thought, let's see who's milling around. And, the answers were certainly different. It was an unusual question for some people. So I had to change the question around quite a bit, but I've still got plenty of answers.
That's right. It's all to do with spirit communication, which is what we're talking about tonight, really. So, all right, we'll play this and then we'll have a quick discussion.
Can voices of the dead be caught on a voice recorder or recorded somehow?
I don't think it's possible. I don't really think it's possible for you to record voices of ghost or dead one.
I think they can be hunted, but I don't think the voices can be recorded, mainly because some people can hear them, some people can't.
It's not possible to record any voice of dead person.
I don't think they can be recorded, but I believe they're still in the air and some people might be able to pick them up. Yeah, sometimes in my shop, someone will come in and look at a toy and pick it up and go, oh, nice, and put it down. And all day, 10 or 15 people come in and pick that same toy up and comment on it. It puts like an aura once someone looks at something and picks it up. It creates some sort of thing in the unseen.
Definitely they're there, but you'd just get a noise. You wouldn't get a voice, I don't reckon. Probably, I don't know, the voice is maybe more some sort of sound. Going by that, you never know. I've heard different stories here and there, so all right, yeah, probably, yeah. I agree, yeah.
Do you reckon a ghost's voice can be recorded somehow?
No, I don't think it can, no.
I don't think so. Yeah, I just don't believe, like, they could be recorded. Maybe you could hear it, but I don't think technology would pick them up, kind of thing.
No, I don't think they can. I feel like they can communicate, like, thought process and touch, but not actual voices, no.
I don't believe so, because I haven't had any experience in it, so I don't know. Maybe if someone had, then they could tell you, but...
What about you? What do you reckon?
Quantitative science skeptic.
Can ghosts communicate, and if they can... Do you reckon we could record their voices?
Yeah, you could. And they do communicate.
How would they be communicating, do you reckon?
Well, I don't know, but they tell their young ones to stop somewhere and they won't move until their parents come back.
What? Because he thought I said goat instead of ghost. There's a lot more to that. Can goats communicate? I mean, what's a fucking weirder question? Ghosts or goats?
So, yeah, so we got... So, yeah, so there was a number of... Well, mainly in the negative. No one really seems to believe that you can record these things. Well, no one at the Junction and Paddy Markets anyway.
So don't waste your time on any voice recorders, people. It's not going to work.
That's right. The public experts have told us. So that last gentleman Debbie, tell us about him, because that was an interesting answer.
Oh, he was a darling, you know. He thought I said goats, G-O-A-T-S, instead of ghost. So he was telling me all about how goats can communicate and they'll put a baby goat under a tree and it won't go anywhere to the end of the day. And he also is selling worms at the markets and he told me that worms communicate as well.
You look like you want to say something, Tash.
I don't have anything to say.
No.
I don't know what you're saying.
I just can't believe that all those people said ghosts can't communicate and a goat can.
A goat can, yeah.
That's our feet in the street assignment for next week, I think, is... Can goats communicate?
Goats communicate. See if we get a different lot of answers. Yeah. So now there's one guy in there that was talking about that he was talking about, which I thought funny because he mentioned the tricycle, and Brad down at the Junction Market said, that he thinks when people keep touching something, puts an aura on there, and possibly that aura can be a cause for communication. But he also told you a story to do with that, didn't he?
Well, when I rocked up at his shop, he was happy to talk to us, but he also said, oh my God, I've got a paranormal experience for you right now. Now, I think he had some kind of retro toy. Well, it was obviously a retro toy of a guy, stunt guy on a motorbike. So he had this toy up on a top shelf in his shop. And he said, well, if it's going to fall off the shelf, it's going to fall onto the floor. So if you go up to a shop counter, there's a space where the person stands and then there's like shelves of toys behind him. So this thing's come from the top shelf onto the counter. So he's come into the shop in the morning, and there it is, just lying on the counter.
It is a stunt motorcycle. It's a Evel Knievel can do anything, man.
I reckon it could have been an Evel Knievel stunt thing. And he said, look, I'm showing you the box. He had the toy outside of the box and something soft underneath so the box doesn't get destroyed. I said, well, what about a rat? He goes, well, he's not going to pick it up and chuck it. if it's going to fall, it's going to fall down. It's not going to fall across.
Obviously haven't seen Toy Story. They come to life when you walk out the room.
Well, there's a shop full of toys. So really, the public, no, we cannot record ghost voices. What's going on?
What are we doing then?
That's right. Okay, what about the people in this room? Paul, do you think the voices of the dead can be recorded onto some sort of media?
I need to experiment a little bit more to answer that question. I'm trying to see how we go, but I don't know. Maybe.
Tash.
I'm not too sure, but I'd like to think that you can, because I hear it, but it's in my head. I know it sounds really... I'm losing my voice. I know it sounds really bad, but the way that I hear spirits and stuff is not as audio as you and me talking, so...
So do you think the ghost box would be a better way to pick it up? So, because a ghost box does pick up frequencies rather than audio waves... rather than actual sound, it picks up a frequency. Maybe that's the better way to go.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the ghost box at all.
I love the ghost box.
I would love to get my hands on a proper Frank's box. And as soon as I find someone who can build one where I can scan the stations properly, I will get one and we will try this experiment. We are experimenting with a few more ways of doing EVPs. We've got the reel-to-reel. We have microcassettes. We're trying the older style where people are saying that EVPs can only be captured on magnetic tape because they are a magnetic voice.
And we'll be getting to that in a second. Debbie, it's all right. Debbie, do you think that the voices of the dead can be recorded onto media?
I haven't spent a lot of time with the equipment, so I'll be looking forward to doing some more experimentation. And yeah, same as everyone else, hopefully. I'm hoping we do catch something, otherwise what's the point?
I have no idea. There's like a whole bunch of maybes and disappointing answers from the team here for anyone that's hoping that, yeah, that the EVP is legit. And let's face it, it's all up to what you believe yourself. But we're going to talk about EVPs now, obviously. EVPs have a large, long, and varied, and illustrious career. So a very quick and brief history on EVP. So now, very first of all, we'll talk about Thomas Edison. Now, there's a lot of people out there that seem to say Thomas Edison invented a machine that could talk to the dead. That's complete and utter garbage. Well, as far as I know, he might have. You know, you don't know that he was part of some secret society that was deeply into spiritualism, but he did invent a lot of recording devices.
Yeah.
So, you know, he may have picked up. Yeah, absolutely. So you never know. He may have been picking up EVPs. But so in the spiritualist movement in the late 1800s and the early 1920s, this was when people started to really hit up with spirit photography, and this is when they were doing a lot of seances. This is when the precursor of the Ouija boards were coming out, and a lot of kind of spirit communication was coming about. In 1941, Attila, now this is a hard one, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, it's S-Z-A-L-E-Y, so Zaley, Zaley, come on guys, jump in, what do you think, how would you pronounce it?
Like that.
Okay, well he was a photographer and he was getting into spirit photography and he was thinking, well, if we can see these things and if we can take a photograph of these things, maybe there's a way to record them as well. So he started off trying to record the voices of spirits on records, 78 RPM records, and he wasn't having a whole lot of success with that, and then the reel-to-reel came out. So he decided, we'll give that a bash, and yes, he believes that he started to pick up recordings. And the way he would do this is, he built a very small soundproof box, he put a microphone in there so someone could go in there, and then he had the recording device, the reel-to-reel outside, so that whoever was in this cabinet could ask questions, much like we would do an EVP today, or could sit there silently and maybe think some questions, etc., and see if some voices would come through a microphone and be picked up on the reel-to-reel. And they did. And Paul, what was the first one? Or what is believed to be the first EVP?
The very first one, I believe, was IMG, which was interpreted as I am God rather than I am ghost. But it's a big statement to make, I believe. And if God did communicate with us through the first EVP recording.
So this Zaylai guy obviously thought he was talking to God for a while there. Yeah. Direct telephone line to God. Then in a couple of years later, there was a gentleman, the surname Jurgensen, I can't remember his first name off top now, he recorded bird calls. And he would go out into the wilderness with his microphone and record bird calls. And he believed they started to get words coming through there from people.
Yeah, he believed he got messages from his family.
From dead relatives. So he believed that he was capturing voices as well. Then in the 70s, people believed that they were starting to get phone calls from dead relatives. So essentially what would happen is someone would die, and then after that person had died, you know, you might get a phone call from them. So once again, they thought that through this kind of electronic medium, that voices were coming through from their loved ones. And then, yeah, pretty much after that, it was essentially people had kind of accepted this idea that, well, the spiritualists accept the idea that you could talk to the dead, and this is when things started to get invented, like the SpiritCom. Now, SpiritCom's an interesting device. Once again, I cannot remember the name of the guy who invented it, but he believes that he was channeling a spirit that gave him directions to build a device that would allow him to talk to the dead.
And that spirit was?
Thomas Edison. So, Thomas Edison, having invented so many of these recording devices, if you're able to channel this guy, well, that's going to have some sort of legitimacy, you would think. But so this guy made a lot of recordings and he published the directions on how to make one, except no one else was ever able to reproduce his results, essentially.
They did get the Frank's box out of it. It's a very similar device.
Yeah. And then in the 80s, the University of West Ontario, they started to do some experiments with this, with EVP as well. And although they were under university-controlled conditions able to get voices, they stated that they are too few and far between, and most of the time, you couldn't make them out clearly that there was nothing to this. They just thought, nah, this is all garbage, this is debunked. And then, yeah, and then soon after that, the ghost box was invented. But we're not talking about the ghost box, that's EVP. So that is essentially a quick and brief history of, spirit communications. Audio spirit communications. Guys, I'm out of breath. You guys are going to have to talk for a bit about EVP. So EVP, guys, go.
The big question is how can a ghost talk? Virtually, it can talk using its EMF, so an electromagnetic current or a field that can manipulate a magnetic tape, for example, which is why we probably got a lot more EVPs when people were using tapes, or it could be the sound of the drive engines inside the tape deck itself. I mean, ghosts don't have vocal cords, like, really, I find it hard to believe that they can make an audible sound, which is what we're hearing, with our own ears. But how they get onto tape, I've got no idea.
If you look at it this way, if a ghost can have enough energy to knock something over or move an object or manifest, why couldn't they have enough energy to produce a sound?
Well, how do you produce a sound if you don't have a vocal cord?
Who's to say that they don't? And it could be just residual energy for all we know.
I can understand energy being telekinetic, like possibly pushing something off.
Yeah.
Possibly manipulating light, but how would it make a sound besides a buzzing sound of some sort of energy? Or unless it could imprint itself on a magnetic tape, which it couldn't do on a digital recorder. I really don't understand that myself.
Well, we don't really understand much of the paranormal anyway, so yeah.
There are some people who say that increased electrical activity outside, such as a storm or something like that, could improve your chances of recording an EVP because they have more electrical current to utilise. Like if people say, I use my energy or use the energy, so that's assuming they need that kind of energy to communicate. And I just want to say too, if the university was saying that they were doing it under university controls, well, what would those controls be? Because there's no precedent. So were they going to a location or what were they doing?
No, the controls are, they've got a, as a control, they try to diminish any form of interference. So essentially what they would have been in a completely soundproof room, so there could have been no possible voices coming in from the environment, so people talking. So it would have been all sorts of stuff like that.
That wouldn't have been in a haunted location then.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
No. Well, they might have done a series of tests as well. So that's what they do. Generally, you have your control, which will be, okay, we're in a place that's reportedly not haunted, but you can't prove something's not haunted. You have them in this condition, you have them in a soundproof box, blah, 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 bam. And then they might go, then they'll change things slowly so they can test against that control and try to figure out what's going on, is how they would have done it. So EVPs, now, have you guys had personal experiences with EVPs, capturing them yourselves?
Very early on, I got one myself, and that was at St. Cecilia's, and I've spoken about it before, where it had semi-validation, but almost everyone I've shown it to hasn't really picked it up straight away, so I'm scrubbing it off, but it is a possibility.
No, I don't really hear much of the audio and stuff, so I don't get to review it, and so I don't really know what we've captured.
Yeah, same. Haven't had an opportunity to hear it all yet.
Earlier on in our adventures or investigations, we were using lower-end voice recorders like the Sonys and the Olympus, which are still great recorders. But since we've been using like the Korgs and the H2N and that, we have captured a lot less now. Is because high-quality mics, they get less static. They got a lot more gains. We are picking up voices from further away, and we do understand them more. So we can debunk them as a human voice rather than a person's voice. Plus, we're marking them, of course, so we are more experienced now. But I was thinking that's possibly the case. That's maybe why these low-end recorders are capturing them so much. But then we spoke to Christopher St. Booth.
Yes.
Who said he captured a phenomenal amount of spirit voices or EVPs on his recording of a lot of his documentaries, and he could hear kids screaming, kids asking for help, There was all sorts of stuff in there. So,
is that all on the Unseen as well?
Yes. Oh. He doesn't show many of the EVPs on there. The producer, Keith Age, does go a lot more in-depth into the EVP sides of things. But he captured on, tens of $1,000 recording device equipment that cost, a phenomenal amount. A lot of EVPs. So that's blown my theory out of the water.
Yeah, see, we're lucky. We get to talk to a lot of interesting people that are kind of like the premium in the field, so to speak. I think what's interesting is in the days of tapes and people going out there with their dictaphone, and tapes are relatively low quality, they're getting a lot more EVPs. But much of this EVP is like a lot of that garbage still here today, which just sounds like, I don't know, two bits of plastic rubbing together and someone's hearing voices in it. And that, to me, that's just garbage to me. Sorry to everyone that likes those types of things, but I just can't stand them. They just don't stand up. But then we moved to digital voice records, and we kind of went backwards for a bit there, because a lot of these digital voice records, when they first came out, were expensive, and if you bought a cheap one, you're going to get a piece of crap.
Yep.
And, very low bit rate, there's going to be a lot of fragmentation, we're getting a lot of EVPs in there. So the question is, when people talk about they're getting a lot of the time less EVPs, does that mean were those things that they were classifying as EVPs beforehand actually EVPs, or just garbage, audio paradalia, fragmentation, plastic bits rubbing together?
Noise, yeah, just general noise.
Those pieces of equipment have got a lot more moving parts than anything digital we're using today as well, haven't they?
That's true. So a tape recorder will have the motor, even when you're talking video cameras and you're talking HDV, which I don't really like HDV, the tapes for film and paranormal stuff, special investigation stuff, because that's got a moving motor, and although video cameras do have things built into them to try and limit that sound, it's not always the case. You always get, you can always hear that kind of in the background when you're boosting. And if something happens, if there's like a bump on that tape or an imperfection, it's going to cause a racket.
Exactly the same as DVD recorders as well. I mean, even some hard drive recorders still have the spinning style hard drive. They're not solid state hard drives, which is what you should be targeting, I suppose.
Yeah, solid state, no moving objects, no chance of that happening. So I interviewed Al Snowborn from Paranormal Field Investigators and LA's Haunted Horizons, and she kindly enough donated some of her EVPs. So I thought we'll go one step further, and I got her to talk about them as well. So we're going to cut to a break. When we're back, it'll be that interview, and we'll be taking a listen to some of the EVPs she's caught in the last, 10, 15 years. It's all right. We'll be back.
Cool.
Are you part of a paranormal investigation group? Want to find out more about any workshops, courses, and events in your area? Are you searching for a paranormal group to join? Or are you after the latest paranormal equipment being sold here in Australia? Then log on to Access Paranormal, where you can find a list of paranormal groups around the country, available jobs, where to buy paranormal equipment, and recommended reading. The website is accessparanormal.com, Australia's chosen paranormal networking website.
At Alpine Nirvana, we are Australia's online suppliers of quality occult products. We have a wide selection of products for spiritual enhancement, protection, cleansing, and divination. Items include smudge sticks, incense, herbs, crystals, books, and coming soon, hoodoo curios. Alpine Nirvana, helping to bridge the gap between the spiritual and the paranormal. www.alpinenirvana.com.au or follow us on Facebook.
We'll get you to play the EVP.
Yeah.
And then you can tell us about what was happening, what it said afterwards. So, the listeners have a couple of seconds aside for themselves.
All right. Okay, well, the first one we'll play was caught in the Adelaide jail, and it's in our early days, and it's when we really, really started to realise that you could maybe catch voices on tape, because for the first couple of years in the jail, we probably missed out on doing that. It was kind of in the early days. And this one we actually listened back to, it was on a videotape, so we know who was there. You can hear the male researcher, Jeff, talking, who caught it. And he can hear Megan, our photographer. They were the only two investigators there. So we know it wasn't them that was speaking. We were upstairs, for those who know the jail. We were upstairs in the new building. I say we, it was the team. I had gone home by that point, I must admit. But they were upstairs in the new building at the top of the staircase, the metal staircase, and they were just videotaping around the place. And on listening back to it, what you've got is a male voice that seems to whisper. Now, it seems to be two words. We're pretty sure on the last word. We're not quite so sure on the first one. We might be guessing a little bit. And, yeah, it was taken, I think, if I serve, memory serves me, about 3 o'clock in the morning, one morning. So with that, have a listen.
So, Alison, so we've heard it. We've heard this EVP. Now, what do you think it is? And does it have any relevance to the location whatsoever?
Well, what we were hearing and what we were hearing when we were playing it to people and what people were coming up with is definitely that second word seems to be Murphy. So it's got a F in the middle of the word, definite sound to it. The first word, we're not quite as sure. And how we hear it is maybe Sergeant, but with an accent. So maybe Sergeant Murphy. Now, that was caught by Jeff in the Adelaide jail when we were in there as a team. The reason PFI went into the jail in the first place is because the ghost of a guard has been seen in the new building quite regularly. And this was during the day. It wasn't even nighttime. So we were just in the right place, right time, that the jail actually wanted to look into it a bit further. And this is how we got it. We can't find any record at all of a guard having been killed or having died in the Adelaide jail. There was one murdered out at the Torrens River there, but we never found any record of one dying. So why is there? We're not sure.
All right, well, that's a good capture. What's your second EVP for us?
The second one is actually the Adelaide jail as well.
Quite an active location then. What's going on in this one?
Well, this one was an interesting one. What happened was I interviewed a guard that used to work in the Adelaide jail in the later workings of the jail. Now, he lent me all his memoirs, which can be read. It's all in the Mortlock Library. But there was one paragraph in that memoirs that really, really stood out as paranormal. And that was a prisoner used to get thrown into the solitary confinement cells on a regular basis. If he was going into one of them in particular, two guards would have to get him in there, but he'd kick and scream, he didn't want to go. If he was going into the opposite one, it would take 5 guards to get him in there because he would be absolutely freaking out, kicking, screaming, he didn't want to go. Now, when he was asked why, he said it was because second from the bottom, if you ever go into the new building where we did the hangings, is Charles O'Leary. We hanged there. He said Charles O'Leary would come through the outer wall and stand over his bed and try and talk to him. Now, Charles O'Leary is buried on the other side of that wall. That is his grave. Now, we put 2 girls in there. One of them was my team member, and they were trying to do EVP. And for those who know EVP, you ask a question, leave a gap, ask another question, leave another gap, listen back and see what you got. Now, they were asking really boring questions. It was kind of, is there anybody there? When did you die? And I jumped in and said, look, we know the story of this cell. We know that supposedly Charles O'Leary comes in. Why not try and talk to him as if he's here rather than these boring questions? To which they did. When listening back to the audio, what you've got is Amy. At one point, she's complaining it's cold because the temperature had plummeted a little bit. You've got a male voice come over the top of her. Now, there was no males in that building that night. There was only me supervising and 2 girls. And you've got this voice coming over the top of her, this whispery voice, which I believe you're going to play now.
The temperature's actually gone up. Yeah. Oh, it's freezing. Are you cold?
Mm. So, Alison, everyone listening is going to have their own opinions of what's just been said. And that's the thing with EVP, isn't it? It is.
It's one of the controversial things.
What's this one saying in your mind, and what's your team's consensus on it?
With our consensus, we think it's saying, I'm so cold. Interestingly, somebody has sent an audio recording of something very similar to us before, and they were up in the dorms, and it was a male voice again saying, "I'm cold, I'm so cold." So it seems to be a running theme on that. But yeah, that's what we're hearing. But as you say, it's controversial. No doubt once I put what we're hearing, now they hear it again, they're going to hear.
Yeah, I'll play it a second time now and see if they're going to hear what you think it is.
The temperature's actually going up.
Yeah.
My goodness, they're probably all sitting there now going, "I just heard that."
Yeah, well, they're going to, because you can put the words in people's heads quite easily. So now the third EVP that you're going to play for us, what's the background here?
Now, that's an interesting one, because I was actually in America at the time investigating over there, and when I came home, the American friends of mine actually sent me an audio recording, and they said, "Look, we've just found an EVP with your name being said on it." They had also videotaped, so they knew it wasn't any of us, and it didn't sound like any of them. But as I'm looking at this email on my computer, I'm looking at another email that's just come through from my teammates who were obviously back here in Australia. They were doing an experiment at the time in Megan's house, one of my teammates. There was no males in there, but they seemed to have got a male whisper saying my name. So now it was said from two sides of the world, roughly the same time, not obviously the same minute, but the same time period. And yeah.
Wow, Thailand and stuff. And this is a library. Wow, Thailand and stuff. And this is a library.
So what's going on there? So your team that knows you and works with you all the times back in, well, Adelaide, South Australia, doing an experiment, one of your team members' houses, and they pick up your name, and you're over in, whereabouts in the States were you when it got picked up?
That one was actually out on an investigation that I did with them. It was an old mill. We weren't actually at the mill. We were kind of walking in the area. It was near a cemetery as well, where we were. Yeah, we would videotape the whole lot. In fact, I have most of it on videotape as well. And you can just hear something on the videotape, but on their audio recorder, it's very clear.
And your name's been caught quite a few times in EVPs and through the ghost box, hasn't it?
It has. I've even had a bit of swearing after my name lately.
That happens all the time.
I know. I can't think why they would want to.
That's all right. So what's the go there? Why is your name being picked up a lot now?
Well, this is what I'm hoping somebody can tell me. Well, because it is said a lot. It's not so much in the last couple of months. It seems to have quieted down a bit. But for a long time, I seem to be getting my name. And it's been female and male. And, yeah, it's been a bit of a curiosity to me.
Well, if any listeners are psychic or have an inkling as to why Alison's name's been said a lot in the spirit world, they're calling you over. That's what's happening. They're calling you over to the spirit world.
Perhaps they know something I don't.
Yeah, exactly. So if someone's listening and they have an idea of what it could be, please comment on this podcast or just post on the Paranormal Guide page, and we'll get that through to Alison, because you're dying to know.
Oh, I'd love to know. I really would, yeah. So far, yeah, nobody's been able to tell me.
So in your early days with PFI, you did a little bit work at a fairly well-known cemetery and location of reformatory. Now, I know that you got a good EVP from there. Why don't you take us through that a little bit?
Yeah, that one was probably the one occasion that really actually I felt uncomfortable when we got it, is we had been out there and I decided that me and another team member, Amy, would get in my car and go up to where this reformatory stood and left the rest of the team down in the cemetery area. Now, even when I pulled into the tree line where the reformatory was, it felt really uncomfortable. It was almost as if somebody was standing at my driver's door looking in, but somebody that was just very, very angry, to the point where I didn't want to look at the window. Now, Amy was looking uncomfortable as well, and she said the same thing. I hadn't told her what I was thinking, but she turned around and said the same thing. "I just don't want to look at your driver's door window." Now, at the time, my headlights were still on, even though the engine was off, my headlights were still on. And a shadow of a man actually passed through the beam of the headlights. But it was kind of solid, but no detail. And we had a bang on the boot as well. Now, when we listened back to the audio, what we got was, "You will hear me laughing." And that is because my team has noticed my headlights are still on, radioed up to me and said, are you getting out anytime soon? To which I'd said on the two-way, yes, yes, I'm just getting some equipment, took my finger off the button, put it down and left because I thought the bloody nightly I'm going to get out tonight because it was that uncomfortable. As I'm laughing and you hear me talking, you hear a male voice come right over the top of us, but it really sounds quite angry. Some would say it sounds demonic, but it just sounds like somebody's very, very angry. And there was only two girls in there at the time. You can hear us talking, so glad I didn't hear it at the time.
That is a very... I don't even know how to describe that voice, really. It's dark. It is an angry voice.
It is an angry voice. And as I said, there's only two girls in the car, and my voice does not go that low. So, look, we play it to people. I hear myself, I hear cynicist, but when I looked it up, there is no such word as cynicist. And that's kind of what I was hearing. My team, however, were hearing sinners, but with the S distorted on the end. And when I used to play at the Adelaide Jail, because at the end of my tours at the Adelaide Jail, I play EVPs to them. And people there would come out with sinners as well. So this is kind of what we think it might be. But it was an interesting one, as I said, with two girls in the car and then this strange, strange voice coming over the top of us.
The very first thing, you've got to take into account this has been played via recording, and if you want to hear them a bit better, use some headphones. That's going to be the best way to hear them. So guys, EVPs, now, pretty much all of us have heard these before, these ones anyway.
Yeah. Were all those EVPs recorded on the same kind of device, or were they recorded on different devices?
No, some of them, well, she said there, I think at least one of them, two of them, were done on an old Hi8 video camera. So two of them were on an old tape, essentially, videotaped at that, whereas I think they were all tape. I don't know if any of them were actual...
None of them are digital.
No, I don't think any of them were digital. Like, Alison will say the same as we said, that since going digital, and she's got a H2 as well, well, similar to what Paul's got, and just you don't get any EVPs, really, that barely anything comes through.
It's not that you don't get any, but it's you can debunk a lot of the noise because you can pick out what it is exactly. Because the gain on them, so you can tune it, and yeah, so you can tell what some of the background noise is.
But that's not the only argument for that. A lot of people believe that the reason why it's on tape is because the electromagnetics can be imprinted easier on the tape itself.
Because of the fact that we believe that spirits are made out of electromagnetic energy. So they can manipulate using that magnetic energy and magnetic tape. So, yeah.
Now, one thing we haven't talked about yet is EVP. How do you do one? So very quickly, how do you guys? Do you guys do them all pretty much the same EVP sessions? I've worked a few through one. It seems to be pretty standard. Ask a question, give it a break. Yeah. Don't lay anything down, then ask another question.
And it's not only questions, you can ask for actions and... Yeah, you can ask them to do a specific sound. As long as you can get validation out of your question, that's the target.
I've been investigating for a while and I found that the most EVPs that seem to be gotten is when you're not even trying for them. They just come in over the top while you're talking or while you just leave your voice recorder laying there. They almost never, ever answer your questions. So why is that? Do you think they just... It's just the timing. You can't predict when it's going to happen. None of this is intelligent. None of it's answering back to your question. Or is it just like they're just sick of it? They just can't be asked talking to you because you want to know.
I think it's back to one of our old podcasts about not really expecting anything. So when you're not expecting it, you don't have that guard up, so it'll happen. Whereas if you go in expecting it to happen and trying to make it happen, it's not going to happen.
Yes and no, but yeah. It's very hard to validate if that is the case. The only EVP that I've caught is the one at St. Cecilia's where we were sitting in the bishop's master bedroom. He was saying, oh, we should do a ghost box session because we're not getting any action. And he was thinking the possibility for the action was that there was no Catholics there.
If it was a Catholic bishop's bedroom, there'd be action, baby.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
That isn't the belief of all us Roman Catholics are here. Anyway, so yeah, so he goes on, because obviously Spilios is Greek Orthodox, and he goes, oh, is there any Catholics here? And I said, yes, I'm Catholic, I'm Roman Catholic. Straight after I said that, you hear this whisper saying, hey, Bishop, you can kiss that boy. That's what, the way I heard it, the way I heard it straight away, and, but that is a direct response. So it is a form of validation to his statement, or rather than a question. And I never, when we did capture that EVP, I didn't know about it until probably a week or so later. And while we were sitting in another room nearby there, straight after that situation, I felt like someone kissed me on the back of the neck, which was caught on the voice recorder as well.
We're assuming that they hear the question at the time we ask it. So are they hearing things as I ask you a question, you can hear it and you respond? Is there a delay? Are they hearing us straight away? So there's lots of different ways of looking at it.
Can
as
they
well.
Hear us?
Can they hear us?
Yeah. What Debbie brought up was something very interesting, and I remember reading a case where just that happened, that they were asking the questions and the EVPs were coming through in the gaps, but they weren't answering. They weren't. It didn't make sense until they realised that if they took that EVP and pushed them all along two questions, they found they made perfect sense. It was like whatever was responding to them was taking about 5 minutes to respond. So when they were playing the EVP after the question that was asked made no sense. But if they pushed that response two questions, two or three, or whatever number it was down, they were making perfect sense. So there was almost like a delay there, a perfect delay.
Do you have that recording?
It wasn't a recording. It was a report.
A report. Okay. Yeah.
So I didn't get to hear the thing, but it should be out there. If I can find it, I'll chuck it up on the description.
Awesome. And going back to the asking questions, we do have a few ways of asking questions, which we are experimenting with as well. We have a thing designed by Bill Chappell, an energy speaker, which you plug into an MP3 player with pre-recorded voices, and it changes that MP3 file. The playback is in the form of EM. So it turns it into electromagnetic energy through this little... basically, it's an EM pump, but it is the audio. So it does change in fluctuation with your voice, similar to what we're using the Tesla coil for too. And what the Tesla coil does, it not only plays the EVP questions we're playing audibly, but it also releases EMF that fluctuates with the tone of your voice and with whatever you're saying, which we've experimented with quite a few times.
Yeah, we got a video about that as well on the Paranormal Guide YouTube channel, and we'll post that up with this podcast.
We're probably running out of time now, but is it worth mentioning the different classes of EVP? Like what people call Class A EVP, and I mean, what does that mean?
It's just good and bad and crap.
Yeah, so basically, so a Class A EVP will be loud, it will be clear, and you can easily recognise what the words are. Class B is essentially the same, but it might be a whisper. You may have to boost that volume a fair bit. You might have to use a bit of interpretation. And Class C is someone rubbing two bits of plastic together.
And I'd also like to add that a Class A really should be a direct response to a question, which would really make it classy as well. So
Classy.
So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with listeners' question and then wrap up the show.
And thank you very much, Alison.
Oh, yeah, of course. Thank you, Alison.
Are ghosts real? Do the dead still roam? Could those stories really be true? Book a ghost tour with Haunted Horizons and find out for yourself. Or why not journey into the much darker side of human nature and book onto one of our dark history crime tours through Gawler or Adelaide City Centre? Ring 0407 715 866 or go to the Haunted Horizons website at adelaidehauntedhorizons.com.au.
If you're looking for top quality Australian made paranormal equipment, look no further than Apparition Technologies, making everything from EM pumps to shadow detectors and much more. Apparition Technologies, Australia's leading paranormal equipment manufacturer. Find us on facebook.com/apparitiontechnologies.
So, listener's question, and this is one of my favourite segments, and this one comes from Lauren Haskell. Now, I'm pretty sure I pronounced that right, because it had a bit of awkward spelling on it. I don't mean to say your last name's awkward. But Lauren asked, what is the strangest question you have ever asked in an EVP session, Tash?
I haven't really asked any strange questions. I normally ask whatever I feel. If I'm picking up something in the surroundings, I'll say, you know, I feel the spirit's name starts with J, and I'll ask that sort of question. What was that noise?
Yeah, did you hear that?
We may have just gotten EVP.
But I'll use my ability to ask questions. So I don't really think I ask strange questions.
Well, what's the strangest thing that's come out? Let's just keep saying strange. What's the strangest thing that you've picked up while you've been doing your stuff?
I don't really know. Nothing. What, you tell me what's been strange. I think my ability is pretty strange.
Anytime you state that you're sensing something is pretty fucking strange to me. Debbie, what's the strangest thing you've asked?
Oh, look, I was roaring, you and Paul and I think were at the port dock, and I think because it was an old brothel, I asked if someone wanted to touch me.
Yes, I do remember that.
Something like that.
And we had a pretty abusive response. Yeah. But that was using an ITC device as well.
Yeah,
well,
that'll count.
We were doing an EVP session as well, so.
Paul?
For me, I don't know about a strange question, but I don't believe in provoking all that much. I don't think it's a good way to go. Sometimes, very rarely do we use it.
But every time I've been with you, you've pretty much tried to provoke.
Have I?
Yeah.
See, there's a difference. So, Paul, being provocative and being a complete asshole to the ghost is two different things.
Okay, yeah. Right.
But there was one time at Gladstone, we were in the drunk rehabilitation cells. And we've spoken about it before. And I felt a little bit overcome, and I was being very nasty to the spirits in there, and I was saying, you're an abusive parent, you're an abusive husband, you're this and you're that, and it wasn't the way I was trying to target the questions. I don't know if I was overcome in the moment, overcome by the atmosphere, or the dynamics of the room, or overcome by the spirit of a ex-guard.
Interesting answers, everybody.
What about you?
Myself, I guess the strangest question I asked was at the Adelaide jail, and I was sitting in a specific cell for, well, he was the top dog prisoner back in the late 80s, just before the jail closed down, and I asked the question, do you think Bon Jovi is the coolest band in the world? There was no response. And there was a big Metallica mural on his cell wall, so I'm assuming Bon Jovi might not have been his thing. But yeah, that was the strangest question I've ever asked in an EVP. I'm sure there's others. Me and Paul have been...
Oh, yeah, we've had some funny ones.
Yeah.
We
were drunk once.
Yes.
We were drunk.
We
were drunk in the drunk tank. We had just finished filming a film clip there, and we weren't expecting to do any investigation, but it was still pretty early. It was about 3 a.m. And we had our post-shoot drinks, and we thought, shit, we're in this jail. We normally would not investigate while imbibing alcohol or having smoked the green or anything like that. So I'm not saying we do. I'm just saying we wouldn't. So I'm just digging a hole.
I'm going to get drug tested at work tomorrow.
Yeah. But so we were pretty tanked on tequila and all sorts of stuff, whatever you had there.
Yep.
And we went to the drunk tank, and I don't think we even recorded. I think we just tried to get some questions answered. But the problem is when you're drunk, and this was with the Ovilus, the problem is you kind of interpret things a little bit differently. And the Ovilus was spitting out some words, and everyone was sure there was a tsunami on the way.
And there was a tsunami warning the following day, which freaked us out.
So there you go, guys. That was some pretty weird stuff. So we're going to wrap it up. So that was all about EVP's disembodied voices. We even threw in a whole bunch of other stuff in there as well. Now, as usual, if you want to contact us, you can do so via Facebook, facebook.com/theparanormalguide. You can use the contact form on the website, which is www.theparanormalguide.net, or you can call the mobile phone 0437 233 729. Now, next week is podcast 013, and it's all about us once again, like we did when we started the season. And we've got a whole bunch of listeners' questions. We're essentially just answering listeners' questions about all sorts of things, as well as talking about some of the previous podcasts. This is the last podcast of the first season. We're taking a 3-4 month break from the podcast, so it's going to be a sad time. But until then, guys, I'm Ashley Hall. See you later.
See ya.
Happy hunting.
I'll see you on the streets next season, guys.
Music track this week will be something random. It hasn't been organized yet. I've been trying to organize something. Let's see what happens. Are we just as surprised as you are?
Bon Jovi.
Yeah, why not?
They're not going to give me permission.
I know John. It's all good.
See you.